Still in the company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios, Bridgestone Arena. Predators tonight when it comes to the point streak against the Vegas Golden Knights, and Barry Trotz will join us in an hour. So I am a huge believer in the duck theory. You know, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. Ian, chances are?
It's a duck.
It's a duck. Right? And I also am a believer in expecting the most likely outcome. But I'm also a believer in being prepared for what else is possible. So when it comes to the NFL draft and the Titans with the 7th overall pick, I think it is more likely than not that the Tennessee Titans take Joe Alt. For starters, the Titans don't have a left tackle. Now, they also don't have a right tackle, but that's a different discussion. They don't have a left tackle. They haven't tried to get a left tackle. There haven't been any discussions of them getting a left tackle other than Andres Pete, who I was told when he came in for a visit, it was as a swing tackle. So they have pretty much said, like, yeah, you know, they have no interest of moving Skoronski over to left tackle. It feels very likely to me that the Titans are all in on Joe Alt at left tackle. I think it's likely that Alt gets to the Titans because the first team, Chicago, needs a quarterback. The second team, Washington, needs a quarterback. The third team, New England, needs a quarterback. The fourth team, Arizona, doesn't need a left tackle. They drafted Paris Johnson Jr. in the top 10 last year. The fifth team, the Chargers, don't have any wide receivers and already have a left tackle. And the sixth team, the Giants, have three. But I'm not ruling out the idea that Joe Alt may not be available. Today, Mike Tannenbaum at ESPN did a mock draft, and he said he did it from every team's seat as a general manager. So instead of, oh, well, I'm hearing that the Chargers like Roma Dunze or whatever, I'm just picking it how I see it. If I was the GM of this team, this is who I would pick. And at 5, he's got the Chargers taking Joe Alt. Tannenbaum writes, quote, "The Chargers gave up 43 sacks last season, 13th most in the NFL. So despite the top receivers all being on the board and a glaring need after trading Keenan Allen and cutting Mike Williams, I'm choosing instead to protect quarterback Justin Herbert. Alt is 6'9 with great movement traits, and he gave up just 6 sacks over 2,100 snaps in college. Fortifying the offensive line is the foundation of any Jim Harbaugh team, and that's especially true after Herbert missed 4 games last season with a fractured finger. The wide receiver class is deep, so I'm taking my offensive tackle now and worrying about pass catchers on day 2. I don't think that's likely, because if it was, I think they would have kept Keenan Allen. But again, I always believe in being prepared for what's possible. And in this case, it is very possible that Joe Alt's not there. If Joe Alt's there and the Titans are on the clock at 7, we don't need to have a discussion. Go take Joe Alt. It's done. But we have to be prepared in case Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft is right. We have to be prepared in case somebody calls the Giants and says, everybody knows the Titans are going to want Joe Alt. I mean, I know that the Titans didn't go to his pro day, and they want Joe Alt. And so, right now, when it comes to building the team and the plan that they have for the team, and I'm nervous about the Danico Autry situation. That's 11.5 sacks. That is a consistent disruptor that is gone and not replaced. I am worried about the inside backer who's going to wear the green dot, who's going to be on the field on every play. It's not going to be Kenneth Murray. Pro Football Focus says he sucks. Seems like the Chargers think he sucks. They brought in Jerome Baker for a reason. They don't have an inside backer. That makes me nervous. And I've gone over the right tackle story 5,000 times. And that, too, makes me nervous. But I'm not as nervous at left tackle because I think the plan is to draft Joe Alt. But as I awoke this morning and I saw the Mike Tannenbaum mock draft, and I saw, again, he's doing this as if he was the GM. And as much as we can crap on Tannenbaum, he was, in fact, a GM. So at some point, he sat in that chair and made the pick where we would say, Like when he has J.J. McCarthy going at Florida, Arizona, at some point he was in that chair saying, we're doing this. And not all these guys that are picking ahead of the Titans are smart. We don't even know if the guys picking for the Titans are smart. So I am, again, I think they're going to pick Joe Alt. I want them to pick Joe Alt. I think they want to pick Joe Alt. But we have to be prepared what happens if they don't pick Joe Alt. And the one thing I'll say is this. I have a very hard time with the idea that that seventh overall pick is not going to represent the Titans' answer at one of these two tackle spots. And yet, what do you do if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there? What do you do if you think Dallas Turner is Lawrence Taylor? And again, those are the situations the Titans have to be prepared for. And I brought this up when Rand Carthon went after L'Jarius Sneed. And I told you guys on Thursday, even though people were saying, oh, the Titans were in, now they're out, or oh, they're waiting for the price to drop, or oh, you know, I think it was Paul said they're out. I said, when Rand Carthon decides he's going to do something, he will do it. Like, once he decides, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it. So if he's decided he's getting his left tackle from this draft, that may mean passing up on a Marvin Harrison Jr. That may mean, you know, those kind of players. And I wonder if it also means that he's not prepared when the things that he wants to do don't happen. Because as much as I want Alt, and as much as I think they want Alt, there is a chance that Alt won't be there. And I don't know if they'll be prepared when that moment comes. 615-737-1025. We're to your phone, 615-737-1025. Plus, I don't think the Titans are going to do what Mike Tannenbaum has them doing, which is taking J.C. Latham with the seventh overall pick, the right tackle out of Alabama, over Marvin Harrison Jr. But I do wonder if they like Latham, as has been reported. I do wonder if the Titans would do something similar to what Bill Callahan has done in the past. We'll get to that next, and then we're right to your phones here on Stillman & Company. Let's talk White Bison. That's right. White Bison is my local coffee shop, and it's your local coffee shop. If you're going to stop by any local coffee shop, you want to make it a White Bison. That's right. Explore their selection of premium coffee blends, refreshed iced drinks, and food featuring fresh-made premium breakfast, lunch, and snack options. Download their app and join the White Bison Rewards Program, like I have right now, and you can place orders on the go anytime. Get rewards and earn free coffee. So stop by White Bison and brighten your day with a sweet cinnamon beehive latte, an iced honey nut macchiato, or the vanilla rooibos tea latte. Find your perfect cup at White Bison, where it is finely crafted for you every day.
I'm not saying that, hey, Latham is the guy over Alt. I'm not saying that. I don't want to get that misconstrued. I do say this. They're very close. And I do know that there are a select number of teams in the league that have Latham rated above Alt. And I think when you have just a big mountainous guy like that, now I'm not saying drafting him, flip him to the left side, but there are other teams who have drafted, you know, a tackle early, a right tackle, that is. And you look at what the Eagles did with Lane Johnson. You know, they drafted him and put him on the right side. I remember the 49ers drafted Anthony Davis out of Rutgers and flipped him to the right side. And they had Joe Staley and Anthony Davis for years. And you look at, Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. So I say all that to say this, right tackle does have some value. I don't know about at seven. I think, you know, depending on what's on the board, they might have to reconsider.
So that was TD, and he was like, look, I'm not saying they've got Latham over Alt, but the Titans do like Latham. It's close. He said some teams have Latham over Alt. Let me say this. I think TD's information is right, but I don't think that the Titans are necessarily telling the truth. I think J.C. Latham might be introduced here as kind of option B for the Titans, so that it's like, hey, it's okay, you know, we like Latham. So, fine, if you want to think you can trade to get to six, you don't have to do that if you want Joe Alt. You don't need to do that. Don't do that. But I do wonder this, because Mike Tannenbaum in his mock draft has Alt going at five and has the Titans drafting J.C. Latham at seven, the right tackle out of Alabama. And I do wonder, if the Titans could take J.C. Latham, now, I don't think they would ever do this with Marvin Harrison on the board, which is what happens in Tannenbaum's mock draft. But take Latham, move him to left tackle. And normally, I don't like just assuming, oh, he just moved the right tackle to left tackle. But in 2020, the Cleveland Browns drafted Jedrick Wills, the right tackle out of Alabama, and moved him to left tackle. Bill Callahan was the line coach. In 2024, J.C. Latham, right tackle, Alabama, same coaching staff with Saban, so we assume that they teach it the same way. Bill Callahan, right tackle, could he move him to left? And I think that Bill Callahan did the same thing in Dallas with Tyron Smith as a rookie. He was a right tackle, and he moved him to left. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Titans like Latham. I don't think the Titans like Latham like they like Alt. And I think that, again, Alt they view as the man. And their actions are telling me that. And I think they're going to get Alt. But we have to have a backup plan in case Joe Alt ends up going and you're sitting there at seven and you don't have your Schmeckle in your hands. Let's go to Alec. Phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alec, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. There's one reason I want the Titans to win immediately. I do think it's a rebuilding project overall, or at least a slow one, but like I want them to win immediately to shut the boo-hoo Vrabel crew up. It seems like they're still going after Callahan. And another thing, why do people say we need to trade for Justin Fields? Why do people still not believe in Will Levis?
Who said that? Everything you're talking about, I have not heard at all. I've heard nobody go after Callahan, and I've heard nobody say the Titans need Justin Fields.
I think I heard somebody on the NFL Network. I think it was like Garoppolo or Adam Rank.
So you don't even know who it is and you're mad about it?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that sound stupid?
I heard somebody, it might have been Schultz, but I think he said, like, we need to trade for Justin Fields.
Buddy, does it not sound stupid to you that you're mad about something and you don't even know who said it?
Yeah. I remember it was on ESPN or NFL Network, but I don't remember.
You don't even know where it was! I mean, I love you, but you can't be that mad about it. Thank you, Alec. You can't be that mad about it. I mean, am I crazy here? You know, it's like, I'm so mad about this. Who said it? I don't know. Where did they say it? I don't. But I'm mad about it. Like, are you really that mad about it? You know, I'm serious. And I have not heard anybody bitch about Vrabel. In fact, I actually think it's the opposite. Now, if you're mad about the national media and everybody that's like, how could you fire Vrabel? Vrabel was a good coach, all of that stuff. That's a different discussion. Fine. But if we're talking about, like, Titan fans, I don't think any Titan fans are sitting here upset about Mike Vrabel. In fact, I'm a little surprised because you guys thought Mike Vrabel hung the freaking moon. And then as soon as he was fired, he didn't care anymore. I mean, I'm a little surprised by that. But this idea of like, oh, they need to trade for Justin Fields. I'm like, I can tell you I think that's stupid, but I don't know. I don't hear anybody saying that. So who's saying that? The league tells you what they think. I have always thought Justin Fields kind of sucks, but the league has told you what they think by the fact that nobody wanted him. Taylor says, what happened to Olu Fashanu? 3 months ago, many mock drafts had him over Joe Alt. What changed? That's right. Also, would you be opposed to drafting Fashanu if Alt is gone? So it sounds to me, and I haven't looked at the big board or anything like that. Like, I haven't looked at anybody's big boards or anything like that to know exactly. But it seems like Fashanu, first of all, the baby hands are holding him back. Secondly, it seems like he's more considered like the 14th or 15th best prospect in this draft. And if those boards are right, you can't take the 14th or 15th best prospect with the 7th overall pick. One texter says, I need to calm down on the caller. Ian, do I need to calm down on the caller?
Maybe a little.
No, the caller needs to understand. Like, this needs to be a life lesson for the caller. If it's not somebody...
A life lesson.
Yes, if it's not somebody that you care about saying something that bothers you, don't worry about it. I mean, it's like somebody said to me the other night, they were like, do people ever get mad at you? I was actually talking about pretzels. You know how, like, do you like pretzels like stadium pretzels, Ian?
Like the big ones? Soft pretzels?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I love like a nice, hot, fresh pretzel.
With a little bit of mustard? Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to be honest. At Nissan Stadium, the pretzels can be very hit or miss, and you're missing a lot. I'd say that they probably bat about 200. At the Titan Stadium. If I get a pretzel at the Titan Stadium, there is an 80% chance that that pretzel is hard. And I mean, it's been probably since the last game it's been sitting on there. And when I hold the pretzel and it's as hard as a rock, I get upset. And I was talking to somebody about that yesterday, and I was like, you know, oh, it kills me. I was like, next time that happens, I'm going to go in the air and I'm going to go crazy. And I made a joke about that. And that person said to me, they were like, do you think that they would get mad about it? I'm like, oh, dude, they've heard way worse from me. Like, the idea about the pretzels, like, that is at the bottom of the concerns of things I've said. And they said, do people get mad at you for the strong opinions you have? I'm like, it happens every day. It happens every hour of every day. I can't, whatever. I mean, I'm sorry that Johnny 7984376 24 on Twitter doesn't like what I think about the secondary. Who cares? And that's how you should feel when it's like, I can't remember who said it, and I can't remember what channel it was on, but I'm mad. Don't be mad. Don't let that stuff get you worked up. I remember my dad was watching Fox News one day, and he told me that they spent, this I think was during COVID, they spent 20 minutes talking about the Chicago school system, and my dad, who hasn't had a child in school in 16 years, looked at himself and said, what do I care about the Chicago school system? And I'm like, that's so true. Like, what do you care about some guy you don't know, some school district you don't care? What do you care about that? And that's how I feel about some guy on NFL Network or ESPN or wherever that says that the Titans should have traded for Joe. Who cares? 615-737-1025. Trevor. His thoughts. We got a lot of draft. We got a lot of free agency. We got a luxurious need. We'll do that with Trevor next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company, it is officially draft season. Like, free agency is over. And we are on to the draft. We know what the Titans are going to do in free agency. We know how that's going to affect what positions they need, what positions they now have. And that means it's time for Trevor Maddich, who is presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook and Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trevor, at the owners' meetings, Brian Callahan floated out the idea of Nicholas Petitfrere or Jalen Duncan being able to play right tackle, said the Titans might draft a tackle, said they might add a tackle, but wanted to highlight the traits of Nicholas Petitfrere and Jalen Duncan at right tackle. I heard that, and I said, no, 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 no. Even though Bill Callahan is coaching them, when you hear that, what do you think?
I hear a head coach showing his players that he's going to give every player every chance to impress him. I do not think that Coach Callahan actually believes that Jalen Duncan can play right tackle in this league. I also think that he probably is a little worried about Nicholas Petitfrere, although I do believe that he could be coached into a position where he can be an adequate right tackle. That's Petitfrere. But Jalen Duncan at right tackle, imagine a big bull mastiff or say a pit bull in a junkyard grabbing a small dog by the back of the neck and thrashing it all over the place. That would be Jalen Duncan at right tackle, because that was Jalen Duncan at left tackle last year. And at right tackle, you tend to play bigger, stronger defenders.
Okay. He also said that Dylan Radins is going to be moved inside to guard and that they will train him as a guard. I know you've said that you think that Radins is probably more of a guard. Do you think that Radins is moving to guard to compete for a starting job with Brunskill, or do you think that this is, again, Brian Callahan's way of saying he's not going to be our right tackle?
I think in this case it's both, because Radins actually held his own fairly well much of the time at right tackle this past season. And, you know, I qualify that because he's out in space and he's not really a space guy, but he has developed strength. That's one of the things that he needed to do coming out of college at the FCS level at North Dakota State, is he needed a couple of years in an NFL weight room, and he's gotten that now. And you can see that strength get onto the field. but his footwork hasn't changed. And his ability to move in space against more nimble pass rushers hasn't changed. And that's why, just like on the left side, Peter Skoronski is best suited there. So let him develop there and see how good he can be. I think that Radins is best suited at guard. And I think he could develop into a very good backup at guard and a very serviceable starter if he has to be pressed into a starting role. Now, I wouldn't want to count on him being the starting right guard going forward long term. But I think if you have a competition between Radins and Brunskill at right guard, that competition, if they both stay healthy, will get the best out of both players. And whoever emerges as the starter will be the best he could possibly be. And I think that position will be one that you won't be terribly worried about on this team, given there are other positions that will then draw your attention.
Trevor, a lot of Titan fans just assume that with the addition of Bill Callahan, they can take bad players like a Jalen Duncan, and that Bill Callahan can coach them up into being good players, as opposed to the Titans needing to invest, say, the 7th pick or big money at these positions. My question to you is, given the reduction in practice in the offseason, training camp, even preseason games, the reduction there, how much can Bill Callahan really do to improve guys that we would think are not very good?
You know, he can develop guys to be the best they can be, but he can't take a duck and turn it into a cougar. It's just not going to happen, because that duck can be as good a duck as he can be, but you can coach him all you want, and he's never going to sink the teeth that he doesn't have in his bill into his prey and chew him up. Right. And that's kind of what he's dealing with there. He can make a bad player less bad. He can make a good player more good, for, you know, lack of a better term. But he's not going to take a player that's not good and turn him into a player that you look at and say, yeah, that guy rocks. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of reasons why. I mean, you have to look at why players aren't good. Let's just take a look at Jalen Duncan. Right. He was a later round draft choice out of Maryland last year, I think. Right. And he came out of college with film that showed he was very nimble in space. He was very athletic, but that he wasn't powerful and he didn't play with good leverage. So powerful rushers would drive him back into the quarterback as if he was almost not there. And that's what we saw when he played left tackle for the Titans last year. Well, enter a guy named Bill Callahan. What can he do to fix that? I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's very difficult. If you're not used to dropping your hips and playing lower, it's very difficult to learn to do that. That's a natural thing that is dependent in large part upon your skeletal structure and small differences in the angles of the length of your femur versus fibula and things like that, that help you be either a really good guy with leverage or not. You take a look at, for example, Jason Kelce, who's a future Hall of Fame center who just retired from the Philadelphia Eagles, and you watch him drop anchor when he's got a big powerful nose guard over him and he drives him back. You'll see Kelce give up a little space, but then Kelce will just, he'll drop anchor and stuff him right there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not coaching so much as it is, that's the way his body is structured to create that leverage. Jalen Duncan is not structured that way, so he will have to manage those kinds of bull rushes using technique that he doesn't have yet. And the best I think he'll be able to do is learn to manage it adequately. But I don't think he'll be able to learn to manage it to the degree that you're saying that guy's going to be our left tackle and we're going to feel really good about it. So Bill Callahan can do only so much based on the limitations of the player, but he can take that player and get the most out of his capability.
Trevor Maddich is with us here on the program. Mike Tannenbaum had a mock draft at ESPN.com today in which he said he was putting himself in the general manager position for every pick, instead of, oh, what I've heard or, oh, what I think. It's, he's the GM. He goes quarterback, 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 J.J. McCarthy to the Cardinals at 4, Joe Alt to the Chargers at 5, Malik Nabers to the Giants at 6, and J.C. Latham, the Alabama tackle, to the Titans at 7. Trevor, should the Titans take J.C. Latham over Marvin Harrison Jr., if that's how this deck ends up being stacked?
Marvin Harrison Jr., the receiver out of Ohio State, is a much lower risk. And I think he's got a much higher ceiling with a higher floor than Latham would have out there. I think it would be a safer pick than Latham. And I'll tell you why. There's nothing that Harrison lacks. And one thing that he did at Ohio State was focus on the details of the technique of route running. He's not just bigger and faster and stronger, and therefore he goes downfield and he beats college football defensive backs. He learned the craft. He focused on the craft of being a receiver. And so he's already got a head start stepping into the league, and he's got all the physical attributes that you want. Latham, a lot of people have Latham as the highest graded offensive lineman in this draft. And then a lot of others have Joe Alt. And so those guys are kind of back and forth depending on what you think. But when I look at Latham, the thing that worries me about his floor is that his footwork leads to his lunging, and his footwork leads him to a lot of penalties. So he'll false start because he doesn't trust his footwork against a speed rusher. And he'll hold because his feet don't get him in the right position to be in front of him so he can punch. People think of holding as, okay, you reach out and grab. But holding is more often a problem with your footwork than it is your hands. Because if you are able to be squared up against that guy, you're not going to grab him. You're going to punch him. But if he's getting around the corner on you, you're going to reach out and grab him. And Latham has enough of those plays that it makes you kind of wonder, okay, does he have the actual speed, foot speed, to be able to get out there against the faster rushers? Now, he is very fluid for a man his size. He's like 340 pounds. But he may be best suited to play guard. He may go out at left tackle right tackle and excel. But if you're asking me which one is the better risk of having success and of avoiding struggles for the first few years, I'd say Harrison is the one to take if you're concerned about that. Problem is that in signing Calvin Ridley as a free agent at receiver, the Titans have put a Band-Aid on that, if not gotten pretty good at that speed receiver position. And both tackles are absolutely abysmal right now. Mm-hmm. And so you would think they'd figure out a way to get a tackle at that position. And if it's Latham, then okay, cross your fingers, hold your breath, and hope that those problems with footwork are a matter of coaching and not a matter of capability. And I will say this, that when you watch him on tape over the course of the lead up to the draft, Latham in pass sets, Latham has been coached to set almost straight back. So he's setting straight backward while the pass rusher is rushing forward. He's running forward. So he's got a huge advantage there. What Latham needs to learn to do is set at more of an angle out as he is backing up so he can cut off that angle so he doesn't give a clean track all the way to the edge to that pass rusher. And so I want you to visualize that right now. And as you watch him on tape, pass protecting, look and see on a particular play if he's dropping straight back or if he's dropping back and getting out to cut off the angle. And that's a place where Bill Callahan might be able to solve the problems with footwork that I'm talking about.
Trevor, do you think that the Titans, given the fact that they have Calvin Ridley and they don't have a tackle, a left tackle or a right tackle, can the Titans afford to take Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's there at 7?
Not really. But then you've got to ask, can the Titans afford to not take the highest ranked player?
Sure.
Especially if it's clearly the highest ranked player. And, you know, I've heard you, Jared, talk a lot about the Ja'Marr Chases of the NFL up in Cincinnati, who just change everything that defenses do. Tyreek Hill in Miami and the Chiefs before that change everything that defenses have to do. And there's a domino effect in your favor there. And this is a deep draft in offensive tackle. So with that second round pick, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to have a guy that they'll be able to plug in at either tackle and be a major upgrade from what they've had while that guy's being developed by Bill Callahan, the offensive line coach. And then while they're also trying to bring in other guys, remember, we've talked about how, you know, they may not have their starting right guard on the roster right now. That guy might come off of a cut at the end of training camp from another team that they're keeping their eyes on and scouting. And that guy doesn't have a spot on that team, but he's desperately needed on this team. And so, you know, it just depends on where they think they can get those positions patched up. If they don't take a tackle one way or the other, right or left, at that number 7 pick because Harrison drops to him and they think that Harrison is clearly higher ranked, they've got to take Harrison and they have got to figure out tackle another way.
Trevor Maddux is with us, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook and Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. Coming up next, Legarius Sneed for a 2025 third. Trevor Maddux weighs in. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Trevor Maddux is with us, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook and Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. So, Trevor, Friday night when Adam Schefter broke the news that Legarius Sneed was being traded to the Titans, what'd you think?
I thought two things. The first thing I thought, Jared, was, oh, I hope his knee's okay. The second thing I thought was, they wouldn't have given him such a huge contract with that much guaranteed money unless they were convinced that his knee was okay. And the thing is, this guy is a game changer at corner. He is a shutdown corner that can play multiple styles, and he's incredibly aggressive. And that's important because it fits into the style of defense that Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator, likes his defensive backs to play. I mean, this is a perfect match for player and scheme, and he's a disruptor. I mean, he goes in there and breaks up passes. He messes up receivers. He is a proactive defender, not just a guy who sits back and lets somebody catch a ball underneath and then rallies and makes the tackle. No, no, no. He wants to get in the way, man. We talk about junkyard dogs all the time. He's a junkyard dog. The thing is the knee. And so we've got to assume that the medical staff of the Titans believe that that knee will not slow him down over the course of his contract. And if that's the case, then this is fabulous because the premium positions, in my opinion, quarterback, protect the quarterback, rush the quarterback, and cover receivers, right? Though this is one of those premium positions. And the Titans, man, this combined with all the other free agents that they have signed so far have got me really excited about this upcoming season.
One thing I'm worried about, Trevor, is the idea of building on the back end, like building from the back forward on defense, as opposed to building what I think is from the front. I think you can have average corners, as long as it's not Trey Avery, if you've got a good pass rush. If you've got an average pass rush, you can have great corners, and it may not make a difference. And the Titans have yet to replace DeNico Autry's 11.5 sacks and his consistent production. And so even though I like Awuzie and I like Sneed, if his knees are okay, I do feel like maybe they've taken a step back until they replace Autry's position.
Yeah, but they had to do both, didn't they? And Sneed made himself, or he was available to them, so they grabbed him. And they want to upgrade the pass rush. Now, the question is, can they upgrade the pass rush with the people that they have? I mean, they recently gave Harold Landry a huge contract extension. We know that Jeffrey Simmons is phenomenal. So Landry, there's a lot of pressure on him. He is going to need to win one-on-one with Simmons on the other side in order to replace some of that production from Autry. Arden Key was up and down. I still think they can get more out of him, and I think they believe so also. But I also think that Kenneth Murray, the linebacker free agent they signed from the Chargers, I think we're going to see him flash in the pass rush a lot more than people realize right now, because he, with the Chargers, he showed himself a liability in coverage, but with his size and speed, he is a terror when he attacks the line of scrimmage. So the pass rush has the players to be more than adequate if those players step up to the plate. The corner position was a nightmare a lot this last season. They need to upgrade both positions, and one of them, corner with Legarius Sneed, made itself available, and they went and grabbed it. And I love that they went and grabbed it.
Do you think that the Titans can find their green dot inside linebacker, i.e. the three-down inside linebacker who calls the defense? It sounds like you don't think that can be Kenneth Murray, that they can find their green dot inside linebacker in the draft, or do they need somebody with experience to be able to call the defense?
Jared, I'd like to see them sign somebody with experience for that very reason, even if that guy isn't the most athletic or the most talented, because defenses have to play together. They have to line up right, and that guy with the green dot is in charge of making sure that that front seven gets lined up right and making sure that whoever the bell cow of the secondary is, make sure that those DBs behind him get lined up right. I wouldn't give that green dot to Murray right now, even though he's played 4 years in the league. I wouldn't give it to him right now because I wouldn't want to overload him with thinking. Kenneth Murray is a heat-seeking missile, and I wouldn't want to turn him into an acrobatic biplane right now. I just say see ball, get ball, and do it in a way that's just a little bit slower than he did at San Diego, because at San Diego and in college at Oklahoma, Murray would overrun holes. He would overrun assignments just because he was so excited. And offensive coordinators would call misdirection plays to bait that, B-A-I-T. And so I think that he needs to settle down and focus on maximizing his physical abilities before they should put a green dot on his helmet, which means he's got the radio in his helmet and the coach is calling plays for the whole defense through him.
Could they do that? You know, and again, like say Peyton Wilson out of NC State. I mean, I have a hard time imagining that guy available in the 100s when the Titans are picking in the fourth round. But does this draft have a guy like Peyton Wilson that they could pick in the fourth round that could be that out of college? Or does it still need to be more experience?
It needs to be more experience because, you know, when you look at college offenses, they are very often some sort of either air raid or read option or RPO. Mm-hmm. So the quarterback is looking at one guy. And if that guy goes here, they go there. If that guy goes there, the offense goes here. And so it's really not all that complicated. Whereas in the NFL, all the pre-snap movement and the misdirection and all the various things that they do with matchups is a huge step up. And I wouldn't put a green dot on any rookie linebacker coming into the league, no matter how talented he is.
Trevor, last one for you. Do you think that the Titans can replace Danico Autry's production with the 38th pick in the draft? And do you think that the Titans need to go into the draft? I think we feel like Joe Alt probably is the target at 7, and I don't have a problem with that. But at 38, given how deep it is at receiver and tackle and other positions, can the Titans go into the draft with that 38th pick and say, we plan to pick this position, or would that be foolish?
It would be foolish to say we plan to pick this position, because if you draft for need and you reach for a player that's significantly graded below the place where you're drafting in any particular round, what you're doing over the long term is building a less talented roster overall than you could be developing. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know that teams will look at the position of need and they'll often take the best player at that position with their pick that they're coming up if it's close. Now, I don't have a problem with that. But you can't be reaching because you need a pass rusher. You know, all that does is it means you have a little bit less overall talent on your team. And when you look at the defensive ends that are available, I don't know that there's a guy that they'll be able to take in the fourth round that they can count on to be better than the guys they've already got that have got experience in the NFL. You know, maybe guys that will develop. But, you know, there are guys on this team that I like as developmental pass rushers, as developmental players. One of them is Rashad Weaver. I still think we haven't seen the best of him. He hasn't been consistent, but we've seen him flash. And I think that continuing to develop there would give them a better chance, the Titans, to improve that pass rush than to count on the guy they get in the fourth round. Now, maybe you know, some little surprises. But we know that in the first round and the second round, considering that they don't trade out of either one of those picks, they have to take at least one offensive lineman, maybe two, and possibly one offensive lineman and a receiver if those guys are graded to the spot that they're drafting, or at least relatively close, because they need that position. And again, I think they're going to have offensive linemen available at 7 that they could take, and they're going to have offensive linemen and receivers available with their first pick in the second round. I think it's 38, right?
Correct.
And so that's going to be available. If they get a pass rusher there, he better be incredible, but he would have to drop a long ways for an incredible pass rusher to be available in the second round.
Somebody texted in and said, Trevor is so good, you need to be more like him. Boy, I wish I could. Trevor Maddich is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Trev, great stuff. Appreciate you as always, and apparently so does the text line.
Thank you. You know what? That's very gracious, whoever texted that. Thank you. I will say, though, that I work with a lot of hosts all around the country and nationally and locally, and Jared is in the top tier of people that I work with. I've got tremendous respect for what you do, Jared. Thanks for having me on.
Trevor, thank you so much. And I should, and it should be noted that Trevor said that to my parents, and my mom was so happy because Trevor Maddich said that to her. So, again, him saying it again makes me feel good. Barry Trotz will join us next. The Predators heater continues. Can the playoffs just start tomorrow? We'll do that with Barry Trotz. We'll get into that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.